wake this damn show up on a Tuesday afternoon. It's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Is the headbanging Eric Meehan joins us in studio. Hello.
So anyway, Carrie, like I was saying, you just take the hypotenuse and you connect it to the... Oh, are we on? Hi.
That was fabulous. You did a whole segment like that.
No, I couldn't. That's, you know what that probably is? That's probably my take on Matt Groening's take on Jerry Lewis.
Hey, lady.
Hey. Oh my God. I love that song. So, that was Bad Religion, a punk rock song. And I have decided we're living in a punk rock world because I am too political and I'm living it. I want to thank everybody who came out in support of me both after this segment and after my newsletter yesterday. I didn't mean to suggest that I'm hurt or angry about being called out for being too political. I'm down with it because, like, the greatest are. So anyway, but thank you for, like, coming to my... you know, supporting me with your letters and messages and everything. It was really cool. I was shocked. And you know, I guess perhaps listening to Bad Religion early on, that got me going. That and Bruce Springsteen, you know. Feel the politics in my soul.
Were the responses overwhelmingly supportive?
There was none negative.
Wow.
It was absolutely, you know, do what you do. And that was very cool because, you know, again, like I wrote in my newsletter, and I kind of, so.
Well, let that other guy buy Hannaford wine, see how that goes for him.
Oh, man. it's cool. So for those of you who don't know, I put my back out again recently, but I'm feeling much better. But I was lying, receiving my, what I call my shock therapy at my chiropractor's. You know, you sit there for whatever it is, 8 minutes, I think, and just kind of get buzzed. I was like, okay, so isn't it funny that, you know, I talk a lot about politics all the time on this segment in my newsletters, but they're all sort of elsewhere, right? You know, no one gets, like I said in my newsletter, no one gets mad when I talk about how a Spanish dictator completely crushed the Portuguese wine industry for 50 years. No one's like... That's too political. Yeah. Well, but it's entirely political, but it's also entirely accurate. But, you know, funny thing is, one of the good things that happened out of it, if you know, good things can happen out of dictatorial rule, we'll find out.
Oh, yeah, we will.
is that, you know, the Portuguese have varietals that, like, never got ripped out, never, because no one told them, you should plant Merlot. So, you know, it's just all very amusing. It's all very weird. This is the thing. Another thing I wanted to mention, quick tariffs update for those of you who have not seen. Our administration and the French administration have struck a deal wherein the, at least for a year, just enough time to get through the election. Yeah. I didn't note that at all, nor did anybody else in the wine press. There will not be internet tariffs imposed so that there won't be theoretically the certain tariffs imposed on French wines. However, the proposed 100% tariffs that apparently still have to do with Airbus are still, but as of yet, no tariffs have been imposed except for the 25% tariffs that were imposed in October. Okay, so cool. So maybe progress. That's the update. There's nothing further, but thus far, we're all still working on a lot of stuff that's in country, that, you know, so, by the way, we'll plug it again at the end of the segment. We do have a tasting this Thursday. It's postponed from last Thursday because of the snow. We said, you know, people probably don't want to go out. So this Thursday from 5 to 7, we will have wonderful wines from parts of the world that are under no threat of tariff and are not currently being charged anything that I'm aware of over and above what they were being charged already. These include some amazing wines from Chile, Argentina, Australia, South Africa. So do come this Thursday from 5 to 7 and check those out. Another update, which just bums me out and has nothing to do with wine, is that Ozzy Osbourne has Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, saw that.
And as a good friend of mine pointed out, that explains a lot of how he's been recently. But it really bums me out because he is absolutely one of my musical idols. And I was hoping to see him last year. I was hoping to see him this year. I doubt we're going to see him again. And just a quick shout out before I launch into the sort of normalized part of this segment. Man, thanks for everything you did. And even if you never tour again or whatever, this is one guy who wouldn't be playing rock and roll, singing rock and roll, singing your songs if you weren't around. So cool. Love you, buddy. Why are we here today? Well, again, early in the year, we learn about what we're doing in wine. What is wine all about? What are certain myths? What are things I should look out for? So today we talk about how to taste wine. Very, very simple topic that can go very, very complex. And first of all, and I always like to say this, and this is true, and I hope that, you know, people are waking up from this, but they're probably not. Most Americans don't really smell or taste what they drink and eat. They taste very often sort of the after effects, right? The things are gone from your mouth before you're really like, that was salty or whatever it is. And frankly, a lot of food companies know this, which is why they tailor a lot of the foods to be desirable for more, right? Like they have an effect of having you go back for more. A lot of that is chemically processed. Some of it is just really good food that has you going back for more. I'm not taking away anything from your Italian grandma or your, you know, whomever. But it's a thing, right? And so my first thing in talking about how to taste wine or anything, right, is that we really do need to taste it and smell it and experience it. You can't just imbibe it and be like, yeah, well, I tried it. So here's what we do, right? The first way we experience anything, provided, again, that you have the gift of sight, is sight. You look at something first. And we are all, I mean, you know, this is where I show my age and the fact that I've been with the same woman for over 20 years. You swipe right? Do you swipe right? Swipe left? Whatever.
You're asking me?
I'm not really. I'm just putting it out there because I'm old and faithful. Yay, Christine. Love you, baby. But so whatever. But we look at something and we're like, yep or nope, yep or nope. And that's cool, right? And I remember reading this study about like how we look at an internet page and you either, you know, say, yes, I'm going to look at this, or no, I'm not going to look at it in like 0.36 milliseconds. It's just ungodly how fast our brains are like, yep or nope. But in a certain way, that's a survival thing, right? So, well, hopefully we're not, you know, our survival doesn't cling on whether a bottle of wine is good or not. It does help us figure out whether or not what's in our glass is right. So wine, in the case of wine, right, like a young, fresh wine will basically look the same color-wise in its... Let's take a step back. When you're trying wine for the first time, there's a lot of like fancy, weird wine glasses out there. But if you just get like a normal wine glass, either a classic white wine or red wine wine glass that is clear, you know, it has a stem, you can swirl, you know, that's the sort of thing I'm talking about. And then you tilt it gently, right? And so you sort of get like this egg-shaped thing with your wine. And you're looking at it, and again, like a young wine is going to look pretty much the same from the outside to the inside. An older wine will start to go to brown on the outside, what we call bricking in red, and white will start to kind of go to a slight brown. That's oxidization. And also, you will see that sort of thing. So right now, we're trying a 2012 Rosto. Rosto is a southern Rhone wine, predominantly Grenache. and it's 2012, right? It's still showing, actually, pretty much a consistent color from outside to in. Just the faint tinges of, like, brown just at the very edges. But it's still a fairly youthful wine. And so once you're sort of determining, like, is this what it should be looking like? Because if you're looking at a wine that should be, you know, fairly young and fairly consistent and, you know, bright in color, and it looks, you know, very dark or something, there might be a problem with it. And it might be just, again, use your eyes as a warning sign. And then when you go to taste it, you know, swirl it around, get the esters in there. The esters are those chemical compounds that hit your olfactory nerves, and they say, ooh, this smells like, you know, berries or apple pie or whatever. And get them interacting with the oxygen. And if you can't, you know, swirl in air, just, you know, keep the glass on the table and kind of swirl it gently. And then, you know, again, just smell. See if it smells like it's supposed to smell. If you don't know how it's supposed to smell, hey, maybe all the better. Just decide what you think it kind of smells like. Then put it on your, you know, put it in your mouth and see. Keep it in there. Let it run all over your palate. Kind of, you know, maybe some of us like to kind of inhale a little air or whatever. And just see what it does and see how it finishes. Is it tannic? Is it fruity? Is it sweet? What is it telling you? Is it silky? Is it oily? Is it, you know, there's all sorts of, you know, descriptors. And then, you know, after you've swallowed it, and, you know, you keep kind of smelling because the, you know, your mouth and your nose are all connected way back in the back of your head. You can look at it, you know, next time you're in a doctor's office if you don't believe me. And how did it taste? And how did it feel? And how did it finish? And did it meet your expectations? These are the things that you should be asking yourself. Not necessarily, did it meet my expectations because I paid $40 for this wine or I paid $10 for this wine? Although, frankly, if you paid $40 and it tastes like a $10 wine, you might want to know why. But, you know, is it supposed to be fruit forward? And was it? Is it supposed to be really grippy? And was it? And if so, why? And if so, and if not, why not? And there might be perfectly good explanations for it, but it's important to kind of go into wine knowing what to expect. And if you don't know what to expect, that's a good reason not to shop at Hannaford. It's a good reason to shop at a good wine store and talk to people who know about wine, because they will help you figure out what the end result will be. I am running out of time, so I did want to re-mention that we are having our makeup tasting this Thursday from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. We're going to be tasting some absolutely delicious wines, very reasonably priced, perfect for your winter blues. Hopefully you're not having winter blues. And you know what? The day is getting longer. And so we're going to celebrate that right here on downtown. Beautiful. Cheers.
Thank you. And by the way, if what Eric said about websites is true, people decide that quick, we need to get his picture right on the front page of the website.
Ah.
Take care of that. Yes. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company.
I look like Rob Lowe 20 years ago, by the way.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.